Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
To do, but you were afraid to do it, so I thought I'd do it for you. Hey, good morning, everybody. We're about to meet God in His Bible, and God's going to change our life this morning. You know, every time we actually take the opportunity to meet God in His Bible and say, Holy Spirit, help me transform today, He's like, that's what I've been waiting on. I'm fixing to do that. That's what God is saying to us this morning. So welcome back to another Sunday in 2020. We're here watching God do something extraordinary. We kicked off a new series last week called what? Closed on Sundays. And we kicked it off. It's really a series designed to help us understand what prioritizing God and His kingdom first. And we started last week with a chicken sandwich contest. It was awesome. Some of you in this service were actually wondering, how did I get a Chick-fil-A sandwich on Sunday to have that illustration? I want to again say thank you to Evan Price, who took one for the team. That sandwich is actually purchased on Saturday because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. But Chick-fil-A sandwich still won. I talked to him about it after the service. He said, Pastor Dave, that's legit. It was a good sandwich. So for those of you that are wondering about the constitution of that chicken sandwich, it was refrigerated all night long, so it was not a dangerous sandwich. So he did not get sick. But anyway, just, hey, we're having fun this morning. God's doing something great. His word is fresh every time. So I want to encourage you to open your Bible app, whatever you're going to, your spiritual journal, to whatever page you're on, and be ready to capture what God talks to you about. Today, we're actually continuing the theme about prioritizing God and His kingdom first. We started this last Sunday and talked about how we were going to do that practically this week by spending 7 days in prayer and fasting. And so we had a spiritual guide made available to us, a prayer guide. Many of you actually took the challenge for the 7 days of prayer and fasting. And some of you were texting me back saying, this is fantastic. I actually had somebody text me back and say, Pastor Dave, I'm going to use this 7 day pattern all year this year because I felt like it was a direct hit for things most closely tied to what God's doing in my life. And so I'm going to use it all year long. So I want to encourage you to be diligent with that. But we're going to build on top of that today and talk about another aspect of that. So I don't have a chicken sandwich for you today. I have something else. It's going to require your phone. So go ahead and get your phone out, get ready to take a picture of something, or actually open your text app, because today I want to take advantage of the theme closed on Sunday, which restaurant we actually got that from was Chick-fil-A, and somebody recently wrote a song all about Chick-fil-A. Does anybody know who that is? Aha. How many of you have actually heard that song? If you haven't, you should listen to it. It is awfully fun. But the whole theme about that is he actually took in lyrical form and said, basically in an artistic way, I'm prioritizing God first in my family and in my life. And he used, of all things, Chick-fil-A to actually do that. So I'm asking you to get your phone out because he's actually going to be here this weekend for a big Awaken rally. And I want to offer you 2 free tickets today to that. And the reason I'm offering that as kind of our creative element today is this. When they made those tickets available, I think it was Wednesday they made those tickets available, they were sold out in like 30 minutes or something. They sold the arena out in 30 minutes. So if you're looking to go to it, you probably can't get there unless you do this. So if you'll text AWAKEN, it's coming up. There it is. Text AWAKEN to that number. Here's what you'll do. You'll text the word AWAKEN to that number. When you do that, it'll come back and say, great, we've got your text. Please reply with your first and last name. So I'm telling you this practically speaking because you're not done until you actually put your first and last name back as a second reply. Everybody got it? And then later tonight, they'll draw those names from that list and you'll be notified by text. So please be sure you're using your phone. This is not something you can hand to an usher on the way out and get mad if we don't draw your name. This is a text function. Welcome to the new decade and millennium. Everybody got it? All right. I'll give you about 30 more seconds to finish that because I don't want you to be distracted by this. But I'm anxious to know who's going to win. I'd love to see you out there. It's going to be awesome. While you're wrapping that up, I'm going to ask them to put our 2020 scripture up. This is the scripture for the year. It is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. We used this last week to open the whole series up. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Ready? Read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. All right. So if you're wondering what scriptural theme we're going to be using this year, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the very first word is the word what? Trust. Everyone say trust. All right, now think about this for a moment. Trust implies some really big ideas. And I'm going to give you fair warning today. I'm going to teach you all the way through today. So you do not have permission to glaze over about 10 minutes into this message. I'm going to teach you all the way through, and the big stuff really comes in big chunks all the way through. So stick with me this morning, all right? Trust implies there's going to be an element of something you don't want to do or don't feel right about doing, but because I'm directing you to do it, I'm going to need you to go with what I say. Does that make sense? So trust isn't just a feel-good word. It's a practical word. It means there's going to be something that goes against the way you feel or think, but if you go through with it, you'll be following me. And that's what he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It doesn't mean don't use your smarts. It just means if I'm telling you to do something that doesn't make sense to your smarts, go with what I say. Because I know what's on the other side of what I'm saying, and I create with what I'm saying. So always follow my word God is saying to us. And he says, then seek my will in all you do. So everything you do, seek me out in it, and I'll show you which path to take. I don't know about you, but in 2020 and beyond, that's what I really want. I want to know, God, which path am I supposed to be on today? What is this hour supposed to be about? How am I doing this? And I'm going to trust your everyday voice in my life leading me through that. All right? Then we actually took the second step with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Everybody look at this with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things, everyone say these things, all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus had just talked a few verses earlier, about the normal way people spend their lives. In other words, they believe they need something or want something, so they make plans how to get that, and they go at what they need or want. They prioritize their wants, and they work out ways to get them. And Jesus basically said, the Father knows you need those things. It's not that they're bad things. The Father knows you need them. But he said, I'm going to show you how to get them my way. He said, if you'll seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, if you'll do that first, if you'll prioritize that first, all these other things will be given to you as well. Now, there's a whole sermon series on the nuance of what that really means, and I don't have time for it today, but I'm going to ask that you listen to this simple context and this simple instruction. God's saying, if you will actually prioritize my kingdom first and my righteousness, that relational connection you have with me, if you put that first, then everything else you need will come to you. It gets added to you. And I admit that if you just think about that on the surface level, you're thinking, I don't know how a career in law will come to me if I prioritize the kingdom of God first. I don't know how success in this endeavor will come. I don't know how sales will come to me if I prioritize the kingdom of God. I don't know what that means. And God is saying, you don't have to depend on your own understanding. I'm asking you to trust me in something. If you'll simply seek my kingdom first, and my righteousness, that relationship with me first. If you'll prioritize that first, everything else will come to you. Now, I'll give you the whole series in about 30 seconds. One of the ways God does that is when we prioritize him first, he begins to transform who we are, and everything about who he is in his kingdom begins to naturally flow in us and flows through us, and everything that we need that goes with that comes to us. But it's how God transforms who we are by doing this part first that brings everything else to us. Now come back to the message series. That was for those of you that are really overthinking this idea. God actually will do that. But I want to connect with those of you who are just willing to say, okay, practically speaking, Pastor Dave, what does this really mean? Jesus, black and white, Seek my kingdom first, my righteousness first. You do that first, and then everything else gets added to you. Okay, so if you're looking for a sermon series, a sermon title for this morning, it's simply this: Jesus meant first. He actually means first. So we're looking at the context where Jesus is telling us in 2020, hey, church, trust me. Don't depend exclusively on the rationale of your thinking. Trust me, and I'll do it. Jesus said, seek me, my kingdom first and my righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So last week we talked about the principle of prioritizing God and his kingdom in our everyday life through 7 days of prayer and fasting. Today we're going to talk about what it means to put Jesus first. All right, put Jesus first. How many of you have ever raised children? Okay, how many of you were raised as a child? Okay, how many of you won't raise your hand no matter what? I'm just kidding. So the bottom line is all of us started out as children, and we have a perspective as a child that is something I want to draw a comparison with. Now think about this. When you were 10 years old and your mom or dad or uncle, whoever raised you, was telling you this, do the dishes, do the dishes, do the dishes. Probably what we were thinking is, you want me to do the dishes because you don't want to do the dishes. It doesn't matter what I say or want because you're the big one. I have to do the dishes. So there's an element of resentment. There's an element of frustration. There's usually, back in the day when I was raised, if I didn't do what they said, there was a little heat in the seat if I didn't go along with that idea. That makes sense? But as a 10-year-old, I didn't understand what my mom was, why she was so worked up about the dishes. Because if I just wanted a cup, I could just go rinse a cup out and just use it again. Why do I have to put the dishes through the dishwasher, put them away, and then go get them again? Why go through all that hassle? I didn't realize she was working on something in me as a 10-year-old that I would need when I'm 50. See, a child thinks that when an authority figure is instructing them, it's for the expediency of the authority figure while they're putting off on the young one what they have to do. I was responsible for the dishes in my house. I was responsible for the vacuum cleaning in my house. You know what I'm excellent at today? Dishes and vacuum cleaning. Every day, old Davo is at the kitchen sink. It's the sexiest thing I can do in my house. You know why? Because every wife loves a husband who will help do the dishes. And all the ladies in the house said, yeah. Amen. All right. So I'm just a little free advice there, guys. If you need a little help in the other areas of the house, start with the sink. It does miracles. Now, I can say that freely because Pastor Sheree is serving in the children's ministry this morning. She's in Kids Big right now. So don't tell her I said that. You'll ruin it. But my point is, what my parents were doing when they were teaching me at 10 years old to clean the dishes and do the dishes and clean the carpets and all that stuff, they weren't putting off onto me something they didn't want to do. They were raising me to be a constructive adult. Does that make sense? So my parents were training me to do something when I was 10 that I didn't understand. I resented them for it. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was an utter waste of time. Those dishes are gonna be dirty again before you know it. Why bother with all that stuff? The carpet's gonna get dirty again. Why vacuum? If you think about it from that perspective, the point of it is, if I live my life with a childhood mindset, I would be a terribly non-productive adult. So my parents were training me even though I didn't realize it. And if they would have responded to my pushback and not made me do it, they would have done me a great disservice. Do y'all follow that? Okay. Ultimately, I learned how to obey what they were saying. And the fruit of that was later on, that's a character value that I have as an adult. But they didn't just tell me to do that once. They told me again and again and again and again and again and oh my gosh, again and again. Oh my gosh, again and again and again for years. I'm just slow that way. Maybe you get it the first time. The problem is when we're being formed and framed in a character part of who we are in our life, we have to hear it again and again and again and again. You know why God calls himself Father? Because he's a father. You know who we are to him? We're his children. You suppose he has to tell us something again and again and again? Yes, he does. He does. So I'm going to go through something that you've heard before today. But you're probably not doing it like he wants you to do it. And I'm giving you fair warning because you may get the drift of where this is going. It's like, oh, you already know that. Don't be 10. Our Father is trying to teach us something. He said, trust me. Don't depend on your understanding. Follow me in all that I say, and I'll make your path straight. Jesus said, seek my kingdom first and my righteousness first. And then everything that you're clamoring about life to get, I'm going to add to you. But I'll add it without grief and I'll add it without sorrow, he says in another place. Children, all of them, all of us as children think transactional. We evaluate a directive with the lens of, if I think the outcome is worth going for, then I'll do what you say. If I would have stuck with that as a child, I would not have learned how to do dishes. I would not have learned how to do carpets. I think you're getting the drift. Do I need to go through any of that again? Okay, I'm going to need a little feedback today. Okay, good. Thank you very much. Y'all thank Brittany because she just saved about 10 minutes of your morning this morning. Our Father works in our lives in a similar way. So I'm going to ask, if you will, to just take a breath. Reset your receiver and say, now, Lord, what are you showing me today? Because God's going to show you something, I believe, that's actually going to change the way your life works this year, and he's going to change your family tree because of it. Now, listen carefully. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change, everyone say change, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He was saying this to some really smart people. He said, unless you change and become like them, you're never going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, I don't believe he's actually saying you're not going to go to heaven. He said you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you remember when he was teaching his followers how to pray? He prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. How? Where? On earth as it is in heaven. He's basically saying, you get to choose. Do you want to live in the kingdom of mankind, or do you want to actually live on earth in my kingdom? Got it? You can live under the curse of the law, humanism, and all of its other isms. You can live that way, or you can actually live on the earth in my kingdom. And he said, the only way you're going to actually live in that one is if you change. One translation says repent. It means change the way you think. And become like children, which basically he's not saying be childish. He's saying remember the season of childhood, because that's when you're taught things that don't make sense then, but it's how you adult That's what he was actually getting to. So it is, he'll often go through the process of saying to us, I'm going to teach you some things right now that in your mind may not actually seem like, oh, I want to do that because I like where that's going to go. But if you'll change and become like children, which means become teachable, then you can actually be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you can live in the kingdom of heaven, heaven's way, while living on earth. Let me ask you, how do you suppose Jesus healed the sick? How do you suppose he raised the dead? Was that an earth thing or a heaven thing? I don't have to preach a whole long sermon on that, but I want to ask you, was he functioning on the earth in the kingdom of heaven? He said, that's how I want you to live, on the earth in my kingdom. But in order to do that, you're going to have to trust me. And don't depend on your natural rationale. The Bible says the human mind, rational thinking, does not work the kingdom of God. We have to trust him. And if we do, he said, then I'll teach you how to live in that kingdom. I've lived the earth way. It's got some dead-end streets to it, doesn't it? The other one is just better. Everyone say it's better. He was not trying to insult them. He was trying to get their mind open to be taught. He was trying to show them. He's trying to help shift their mindset. When Jesus was talking to them about this, he wasn't trying to make them feel bad. He was trying to say, please listen. I'm going to teach you something that will shift the way your life works. This morning, I want you to know I'm doing two different things today. I'm teaching and preaching, but I'm also listening. You know why? Because I, for one, if I'm the only one, I don't think I am, but if I'm the only one, I, for one, know I want more of that one and less of this one. So I'm telling God today, at 53 years old, with a PhD and as a lead pastor, God, I want to become like a child and be teachable to you with you today. I don't want to think I know it all. I want to learn fresh. You know what I want to be like? I want to be like you ever see this happen with a parent? They come up with a great idea, and then they've got like 8 or 10 kids, which none of us actually have 8 or 10, but some of you have 6. I don't know why in the world you have 6 kids. That's a lot of kids. But as soon as they come up with a great idea, their mind instantly goes to the one, oh, this one is going to be the one that loves this idea. You know what I'm talking about? I want to be that guy. When the father comes up with a great idea, I want to be like, oh, David is the one who's going to love this one. I won't have to convince him. He'll just go right for it. Now, Jim, on the other hand, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm talking about? Don't you want to be the one when God comes up, I want to do a miracle. Oh, Jim is the guy who's going to go right for that one. I want to be just like that. You know what that means? That's a childlike posture. God, I won't overthink it. If you'll just tell me, I'll do it. If you'll show me, I'll get it done. Why? Because I trust you. I trust you. I'm willing to change and do that. Why? I want my life transformed, and that's what God wants to do. Now I wanted to set that posture up in our spirit this morning, because I want to take the next 6 to 8 minutes and put pieces of a picture in your heart and in your mind this morning that I believe God gave me in order to set this one decision up so that it unlocks something in all of us this morning. Jesus, in Luke chapter 2, actually shocked his parents by not traveling with them when they left the city, and they discovered that they had left him behind, so they went back to look for him. He was 12 years old. They found him in the temple, and they got onto him. Why'd you do this to us? Blah, 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 and he was in trouble. But his response to them was this, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He's like, I'm reading a little bit between the lines to his mother, who had a divine encounter with an angel and told her all about this. to Joseph, who also had an encounter with an angel who told. He's like, come on, guys. Why did you have to look for him? You should have known I was here. Of all people on the planet, you knew I had to be about my father's business. What was he saying? I know what I'm on the planet for. I'm not on the planet to be in the who's who of whatever. I'm on the planet to be about my father's business. He knew what he was here to accomplish, his father's business. So let me actually take that context that Jesus left heaven to come to earth to do one thing, to seek and save the lost, to actually bring redemption to those who could not redeem themselves, which is all of us. That's what he said, I'm here to do. Why? That was his father's business. Now think about this. John 3:16, what does it say? God so what? Loved the world that he what? Gave his what? That should, but, okay, who's the one who did all of that? God, the Father, loved the world so much that he sent his son. What would have happened if his son got here and said, hey, this is a cool place. I think I'm just going to settle in. I'm going to get some likes on Instagram. I'm going to find a way to be popular. You know, what would have happened if Jesus got enamored with earth? What would have happened if the Son of God, who was sent from heaven to be about the Father's business, got distracted, got enamored, got busy, got buried in the things of the earth? You may not have ever thought about that before, but I'm really grateful that Jesus knew what he was here for. He stayed on purpose, on task, on mission his whole life. And all of us are grateful for it, aren't we? That conviction informed every part of his journey in this human life. I'm here to be about my Father's business. I'm here to see the kingdom of God established in the earth in a redeemed way. I'm here to do this. This is what I'm all about. That single-minded conviction informed his decisions all the way through his life. One day, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them and said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for what? People. In a contextual way, we're going to use some pictures here. Jesus said, If you'll come and follow me, I'll show you how to do what you're doing, but the motive of it is for something else. Remember, Jesus had a single-minded mission. He was here for our salvation, our redemption. That's the Father's business. He came alongside of these people and said, here, if you'll come and follow me, I'll teach you, I'll show you how to do what you're doing, but be about my Father's business. I'll show you how to fish for people. Let me give you a couple of fill-ins if you're writing down some notes. So a couple of these words actually give you some nuance to it. Come, write this down, means make a change. Make a change. Make a change. Come, make a change. In other words, if you follow what I'm going to do, it's going to mean you're changing something about what you're doing or why you're doing what you're doing. Come. Follow me means do what I say do. Follow me means do what I say do. That's easy. Follow my instructions. Follow me. If you'll make a change and you'll do what I show you to do or say to do, then I'll show you how, which means this. I will show you a way you don't already know. Write that down. I will show you how equals I will show you a way you don't already know. So there's three phrases I want you to write down. The word come, the word follow me, and the word I will show you how. The word come means make a change. The word follow me means do what I say do. And the I will show you how. Leave that one up there for a few seconds, guys. That's a long haul for if you're writing everything down. I will show you how means I will show you a way you don't already know. I'll show you how. Jesus said, if you'll come and follow me, I'll show you how to fish for people. By now, if you've been around the scriptures for a little length of time, you probably already know the general direction that the message is going. So let me just go ahead and move the message along. I believe one of the things God's focusing us as a congregation, but not just the mass of people as a congregation, he's focusing you on. He's focusing you on. He's focusing you on. He's refocusing on us on being about his business. Fishing for people. Fishing for people. You may go, well, I don't know how to do that, Pastor Dave. You're the paid professional. That's your job. Not really. Not really. Now, I do have a role to play in this when it comes to the way we work together and their gifts and the offices we serve in each other's lives. I am, in most people's minds, I'm a pastor. You know what that means? That means I'm a gift to you. Ta-da! I'm a gift to you. I'm a gift. Thank you, Obi. I'm a gift to you. I want you to listen carefully to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. So Jesus gave my function to you as a gift. Then he goes on to qualify. He says, now let me unpack this a little bit for you. Verse 12, he says this, their responsibility, in other words, the gift's responsibility, they have a job to do. Their job is to equip God's people to do his, to be about the Father's business. Their job, my job, is to equip you to be about your Father's business, equip you to do your work, to do his work, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. That's my job. I'm a gift. So the good news is, even if you don't know how to do this, it's my job to teach you, number one, to do this, number two, to show you how. Why? That's my job. How many of you want me to be in trouble with Jesus? Some of you are like, well, now that you mention it, my job is to make sure that front and center, you know, our function on the planet is the Father's business. Why? He's using our whole life to craft and shape things in our character that actually are not just for here, but for eternity. There are things God wants to shift into the way you live your life at a character basis. In this life for eternity. Just like your parent had to tell you at 10, do the dishes. I don't want to do the dishes. I don't care. Do the dishes. Why? Someday you'll thank me for this. God in many ways uses the life we're living right now to prepare us for something we don't see coming. So just because it may not make the most sense to us now doesn't mean it won't actually click into being important at some point. Fair enough? So my job is to make sure you know your primary purpose on the planet is not revenue generation. The primary function you have on the planet is not recreation. The primary function you have on the planet is not tax generation, tax revenue generation. The primary purpose you have on the planet is not procreation. The primary planet you have, purpose on the planet you have is not pleasure and the pursuit of happiness. The primary purpose we have on the planet is the Father's business. If you are a follower of Christ, if you have received salvation, if you've been born again, your primary purpose is the Father's business. It's never not going to be that. And Jesus is telling us today, hey, if you'll change and follow me, I'll show you how to do what you do for people. Why? Because the people is the Father's business. Underneath our fathering and mothering and jobbing and selling and cleaning and driving and bill paying and everything else that we do, underneath all that, we're here for one reason: the Father's business. And Jesus is not saying, stop working, don't parent, don't pay bills. He's not saying that. He's just saying, change, follow me, and I'll show you how to do that in a way that prioritizes the people first. Why? Because if you seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness first, everything else comes. And then he said, now trust me in this, which means it won't make sense to your natural mind, but if you'll do what I say, you get the results. Daryl, you're already up here again. How is it just when I get to the good spot, here you are? I'm just kidding. Daryl's doing his job. Jesus came, did what he did, and then before he left, listen to what else he said. John chapter 20, verse 21 says this. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, look at that last phrase, I am what? Sending you. In other words, when I'm gone, you are the me. When I'm gone, you are the me. You know what he's counting on? He's counting on you to be about the Father's business on his behalf. Why? Because this is what he said. As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. You ever heard of the Great Commission? Matthew 28, 19 and 20 NIV says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to obey all the things I've commanded you. Who's the commission to? All of us. Why? It's the Father's business. It's the Father's business. Now, let me see if I can draw two big ideas together in a way that brings a focus on this that's fresh. Jesus actually intends us to do this. Jesus actually counts on his people to do this. But it's not just for the people out there. Everything he tells us to do is with us in mind. Why do you suppose one of the reasons he wants us to be so singularly focused on this is? Because this is one of the keys on how you live on the planet in his kingdom. Prioritizing the kingdom first and his righteousness is one of the ways we, while we're living and breathing on this planet, driving down congested streets, avoiding traffic jams, and figuring out how to get through the shortest line at the checkout station. It's one of the ways we, in the middle of everyday life, live on the planet in the kingdom, where we have everything we need for life and godliness. So what we're about to talk about in a very practical way is not simply about them. He said, I want you to trust me in this because this is how I unlock the kingdom in you. When you're all about this, I'll show you how everything else works. The last Sunday of 2019, one of the things we did as a congregation is we filled out the top 10, remember the time capsule prayer requests? The very bottom of that, there was a line that says, I'm believing God for the opportunity to lead blank number of people to Jesus. blank number of people to Jesus. My sincere hope is that everybody put at least one there. Now, my job is to teach you how to do that. There are lots of ways to fish, okay? I understand that. And if you are a prolific saver of people already, you don't have to listen to a word I say. If last year you brought 15 people to Jesus and baptized them and discipled all of them, you're off the hook. But if by chance that was not the main thing you did and you felt like there's areas for improvement, I would like for you to listen to me give you an idea of how to fish. There are lots of ways to. It reminds me of a story I heard of a guy who was fishing, and he was an extraordinarily effective at fishing because he fished with dynamite. Well, somebody called the game warden on him, and so he denied it. So he said, well, I want to go fishing with you. So he went out fishing. They were out in the middle of the lake. So he said, okay, and I want to see how you fish. So he said, you sure? He goes, yep. So the guy reached under his seat, got a stick of dynamite out and lit it and handed it to the game warden. Then he said, now, are you going to sit there and looking at me or are you going to fish? I'm asking you this morning, are you going to sit there and look at me or are you ready to go fishing? Here's what I want to ask you to consider this one thing. Every week when you walk into LifeLink, there's a beautiful cushioned black canvas chair, whatever that material is that you sit on. What's on that seat every time? An invite card. Here's an idea for you. Now, if you have a better way, please use it. But if you don't, then listen to this one. Take that card. And then on Monday, and write your name and phone number on it. On Monday, you say, Jesus, who can I give this card to and invite them to come worship at LifeLink with me? If that doesn't click, then on Tuesday, Jesus, today I'm looking. If you'll show me by the Holy Spirit who I can invite to church with me on Sunday, I'll invite them. If that doesn't work, then do it Wednesday and Thursday. Somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit will make sure you have an opportunity in a conversation somewhere to invite somebody to church with you. Why? It's the Father's business. He's looking for somebody who has yes in their spirit. He'll do miracles through people who simply are available and ready to go. Now, here's the thing. If by Saturday you haven't actually found a way to invite somebody, then get gas in your car and leave the card in the pump. Because you never know. There are people at LifeLink right now because somebody left a card in a gas pump. You're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, just a moment ago, I was talking about the practical application of intentionally fishing for people. And when it dawned on you, oh, I think he's preaching today about the importance of me bringing people to Jesus, inviting people to come to know him. I was tempted to ask a few moments ago, how many of you have absolutely no intention of doing this at all? But I didn't want to do that. But I want to put this in your mind. When I'm going through this in just a moment, if in your spirit you're like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that either. And I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing that. That's fine. But there are many people in this room today that God's talking to. My challenge to all of us this morning is let's lean into the spirit with which we have been saved and redeemed to be about the Father's business. Think about this. What would happen if this week you took one of that invite card and you found the connection? Do you know what happens when you sit through a worship journey with somebody who's visiting with you as a guest? It changes everything about the way you engage that worship journey. Do you know what happens in your life when you're actively discipling somebody? it changes everything about the way your life works. So I have a plan to fish for you. Take those cards. Ask God to show you who you can invite. There'll be a time. It'll be January or February or March. It'll be somewhere. Somebody will say yes. Here's your next step. Have them worship with you. When we get to the end of the journey and we invite people to say yes to Jesus, it's okay to actually peek and say, are they responding? If they are, your next step is, hey, I'd love to invite you to come back. Sit with me. If you get them back two times or three, the next step is, I'd like to ask you to consider letting me go with you to Growth Track. And here's why. In Growth Track, every first Sunday, we spend a whole journey. The whole session is about what it means to follow Jesus and how to align with him in identifying with him through water baptism. If you do that, and then you step into the baptism tank and you help the pastor baptize them, you know what you're able to tell Jesus when you see him face to face? I did the Great Commission. Why? I helped bring somebody to the saving knowledge of who you were. I actually helped them make the decision to follow you in baptism. I got in the baptistry with them and I actually helped baptize them. I helped them finish the growth track. I helped them find a dream team to connect with the body, and I helped them do that. I made sure they're in a life group. I actually went to the life group with them. I went through the whole process of making sure they learned what it means to live an outward, focused, other-centered life. I did that, and guess what they're doing now? They're doing the same thing. What would happen in our region if we actually said, instead of, oh, that's a fun idea, somebody will do that, or I'm not doing that, what would happen in your life if you just said, yes, I'll be about the Father's business? Now, the truth is, if you are bringing people to Jesus and you're seeing them baptized and you're discipling them and all that stuff anyway, you don't have to use this method of fishing. There's lots of ways of fishing. But if by chance you look back on 2019 and don't see a whole flood of people following your yes and your leadership to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the waters of baptism, through the growth track, through the dream team, and through the life groups, if you can't look back and see all that, then maybe the method of fishing you think you're using is not as effective as another one. So I'm asking you, would you consider switching tactics this year? And every Sunday, as you're sitting down, take the card and slip it in your pocket. Every Sunday, take the card and put it in your wallet. Every Sunday, write your name on that card and say, Lord, I want to go fishing this week. Why? Because if we don't actually have a plan, guess what will not happen? We'll just keep looking at each other Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, hoping somebody's going to do it. Why not it be you this year? Now, let me show you something. This has more to do with what God wants to unlock in your life than God just getting one more person in the seat beside you. This has to do with God recalibrating your life to be about him, his kingdom first. Why? Because he said, if you'll prioritize me first and my kingdom, everything else I'll bring to you. God wants your life full. And he may use something like what we're talking about today to actually shift you into a mode where you live kingdom of God first. Yeah, but I'm a salesman. You can do that with the kingdom of God first. I'm a banker. You can do that with the kingdom of God first. I'm a doctor. You can do that. I'm a pilot. You can do that. I'm a filling station attendant. You can do that. I'm a server. You can do that. I'm an athlete. You can do that. It doesn't matter what you do. You can do all of that with the kingdom of God first. And it will make a huge difference in your life. Let me show you something, that how often things that don't make rational sense shift whole cultures. I'm going to read a quick story to you, and then we're going to wrap this up. Because I think a lot of times people think making a simple change like this won't make any difference in their life. I'm telling you, you're dead wrong. Listen to this. Back in October of 1987, I said 87. That's a long time ago. I know. A man named Paul O'Neill gave his first speech as the CEO of Alcoa, which is a big aluminum company, the aluminum manufacturing giant. Investors were nervous since Alcoa had faltered with failed product lines. But O'Neill didn't talk about profit margins, revenue projections, or anything else that would be comforting to Wall Street ears. He said this, I want to talk to you about worker safety. So here's a brand new CEO coming into a failing business with investors listening carefully to what the new strategy is going to be. And he says, I'm going to talk to you about worker safety. The room went silent. He went on, every year, numerous Alcoa workers are injured so badly they miss a day of work. Our safety record is better than general American workforce, especially considering that our employees work with metals that are 1,500 degrees and machines that can rip a man's arm off. But it's not good enough. I intend to make Alcoa the safest company in America. I intend to go for zero injuries. The audience was bewildered. A cautious hand went up asking about company inventories. O'Neill said, I'm not certain that you heard me. I want you to understand how, if you want to understand how Alcoa is doing, you need to look at workplace safety figures. They're like, that doesn't make sense. That's not a metric that makes a difference. For the new CEO, safety trumped profits. Investors ran out of the room as soon as the presentation had finished. One sprinted to a payphone, that tells you how long ago it was, a payphone across the street and called his 20 largest clients. I said, the board put a crazy hippie in charge. He's gonna kill that company. I ordered them to sell their stock immediately before anybody else in the room started calling their clients and telling them the same thing. It was literally the worst piece of advice I gave in my entire career. The emphasis on safety made an impact. Over O'Neill's tenure, Alcoa dropped from 1.86 lost work days to injury per 100 workers to 0.2. By 2012, the rate had fallen to 0.125 workers per 100. Surprisingly, the impact extended beyond worker health. One year, listen, after O'Neill's speech, the company's profits hit a record high. Here's the difference. Focusing on one critical metric created a change that rippled through the whole culture. The focus on worker safety led to an examination of an inefficient manufacturing process, one that made for suboptimal aluminum and danger for workers. By changing the safety habits, O'Neill improved several processes in the organization. When he retired 13 years later, Alcoa's annual net income was 5 times higher than when he started. The new approach to safety led a change in culture. He said this, I knew I had to transform Alcoa, but you can't order people to change. You can't just make them change. So I decided I was going to start by focusing on one thing. If I could just start disrupting the habits around one thing, it would start spreading through the entire company. It turns out that focusing on one highly impactful habit can improve several routines and the bottom line. I know this may sound odd to close a sermon on something like reaching people one-to-one, bringing people to the gospel can make a difference in your actual life. But I wanted to reach outside of sermondom and show you that even in areas outside, things like what God is telling us to do can make radical changes in the experience we live in our lives. So let me close by asking you this. Would you take 2020 and fish with me? Could we take those cards, write our names and our numbers every week and go, who can I bring? Who can I bring? Who can I get to say yes? Who can I get to Growth Track? How can I get them on the dream team? How can I get them into a life group? If we'll actually adopt that as a lifestyle, I can do that in any career path, any educational track, all of it, nothing's off limits. I can just live the kingdom of God first. What would happen in your life? Everything. Everything. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. Now, Lord, today we're talking about one simple application that represents a change, being extremely intentional with looking for people to bring into your kingdom by inviting them to listen to your word and experience your presence in a worship service. Being a part of helping them take practical next steps forward and watching you change their lives one by one. I pray, God, for a supernatural grace to move through this congregation today. I take authority over dark spirits that would cause confusion and frustration and agitation to disrupt and unseat the simple truths that God's teaching us today. That one simple change about prioritizing God's kingdom first, no matter what my avocation, my education, my career, no matter what those are, about prioritizing the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, God changes everything about the way my life works. Father, I pray that you would cause this message to root deeply in us and that we'd begin to experience real life change. Lord, you're not confused when you tell us how to focus on your kingdom by bringing others to that as a life focus. I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there are probably several people in here today that realize I'm not doing that right now because I don't even walk with Jesus relationally. And I realize that I want to have everything God has created me for in my life, and it comes to that relationship. I recognize that Jesus died to pay for my sins, and I want to yield the leadership of my life to his lordship. In just about 30 seconds, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. That prayer is basically a prayer of biblical repentance, which means, Jesus, forgive me for sinning against you, doing my own thing. I'm yielding control of my life to you, and I'll live from this day forward with you calling the shots in my life. If you know you need to make a fresh start with Jesus today, in about 10 seconds when I start praying, I'm going to ask you to join everybody else, and let's pray together. If that's you, say yes in your spirit right now and join me. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, come on, everyone. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your scripture. Jesus, thank you for living your life on mission, for dying on the cross to pay for my sin. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm giving control of my life to you. Come into my heart, be the Lord and Savior of my life, and lead me forward for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.